is what we're talking about today. We are the sheep, of course. We established that last week, and we tend to worry. Some of us worry more than others, but we all can understand worry, right? I think we've all had experience with worry. There was a t-shirt that says this. It says, "Worrying works. 90% of the things you worry about never happen." Well, it's not really true. Worrying does not work. It is true that most of the things that we do worry about don't happen, but that's not the case because we worry. Worrying really does not work. It has never solved a single problem ever. Just worrying about something doesn't solve the problem. All it does is rob us of joy, and then it drains us of energy, and we waste our time. It drains us emotionally, physically, and we waste our time worrying when we could be resting in the peace that God provides. The only thing that worry changes is the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual condition of the one who is worrying, and it changes it for the worse. So is there any relief for worry? That's the question. Is there relief? Can we find relief for worrying? Well, some researchers have said that chewing gum helps. There's actually a calm chewing gum put out by Mood Foods. You can buy it. And they say if you chew gum, that research has shown that it relieves stress, it relieves anxiety, and it will calm you down. But there's other research that has come out as well. Cleveland Clinic, a dentist by the name Karen Kahn says that you should never chew gum more than 15 minutes at a time, because if you chew gum excessively, you might develop TMJ, which is a pretty serious condition, jaw condition. If you're unfamiliar with that, it can cause your jaw to lock up. It can make it to where you can't open your mouth or close your mouth. So here's the situation. We're worried, we're anxious, so we chew gum, and then we worry that we're going to chew gum too much, and then our jaw's going to lock up, and then we worry we're going to starve to death because we can't chew, we've got TMJ, and we're left worrying again. So is gum really the answer? It might help for a few minutes, but the answer is not chewing gum. There has to be a better way. Is it possible to worry less and live in peace more? Well, I say yes. And this is something that I struggle with greatly, okay? So as we're talking this morning, I'm not just delivering a message to you. We're working through this together, all right? But here's what I want us to see before we dig in this morning. In our weakness, we all will experience worry in our life. But worry doesn't have to be a way of life. And that's the challenge. We're all going to experience it from time to time. And the answer is not chewing gum. The answer is found in "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That's where we find the answer to worry. We're in this series called The Good Shepherd. And there's a danger with the 23rd Psalm. We'll be in the 23rd Psalm again. There's a danger that we are too familiar with it. We talked about this last week. We become so familiar with the passage that we tend to just read over it, to gloss over it, or we think there's nothing else we can learn from that passage. That's the danger here. So the challenge for all of us is to approach this passage of Scripture like we've never read it or studied it. That's the challenge, to approach it like we've never read it or studied it at all. It's written by King David. King David was an imperfect person, to be sure. He made many mistakes, but he was a man after God's own heart. He loved God, and he knows what it's like to face hard times. He knows what it's like to have his heart hurting, to lose a loved one, to be confused about what's next in life, to know that you are called to do something greater and to wait on the Lord until it's the right time to do whatever that is. He knows what it's like to be confused. He knows what it's like to feel pressure about the problems of life. He used to be a shepherd, and here, as a shepherd, David spent countless hours caring for sheep. Now, in the 23rd Psalm, David is a sheep looking at how his Lord, the shepherd, cares for him. What David is doing here, it's a sheep looking at the shepherd saying, let me tell you about my shepherd, the Savior. Let me tell you what he's like. Our shepherd is Jesus Christ. We tied in the shepherd of 23rd Psalm and Jesus as the shepherd, identifying himself a few times as the good shepherd. He is our shepherd. And King David is knowing what it's like to face difficult times, knowing what it's like to be a shepherd caring for sheep, is now looking and saying, I'm going to paint a picture for you of what my shepherd looks like. That's what the 23rd Psalm is. It is a picture that David is painting of what God looks like and how he relates to his children. Sheep, as we have talked about, are clueless. They are dumb. They are helpless. They are hopeless. And left to themselves without a shepherd, they are easily destroyed. And you and I are identified in Scripture as sheep. Those without Jesus, who are not saved, who don't know Jesus as Savior, they are described in the Bible as lost sheep. But when we come to Jesus, when we accept him as Lord, he saves us, he sets us free from our sin, and he welcomes us. We become part of his forever flock. We are his sheep. He is our shepherd. And then we spend our lives as sheep following him. Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus is the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm. He came to this world to seek and to save the lost, to save those who were lost, and then to shepherd them. He continues to shepherd us as we live for him, as we follow him. His sheep, saved people, believers, those who are a part of his forever flock. The 23rd Psalm is a needed fresh word for our modern world. It speaks directly to the conflicts, cares, and confusion that we all experience in contemporary life. And it shows us that through our shepherd, we can face life with calmness, courage, and confidence. And this part of the first verse that we look at today speaks directly to that. Last week, I encourage you, if you weren't here, if you didn't see it, go back and watch. Last week, it laid the foundation for this entire series. We talked about the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord, the Almighty, all-powerful, eternal, no equal, no error, creator, sustainer, God of the universe. Is, that word is, David is saying, he's not talking about how the Lord has been his shepherd, which he had. He's not talking about how the Lord's going to be his shepherd in the future. He's saying that right now, all the time, every day, the Lord is my shepherd. And then my shepherd, my personal. He's not a God that I've created in my mind or that I'm trying to please with good works. He is my God, a personal, relational God, and he's my shepherd. He leads me, he guides me, he guards me, he protects me. And this eternal, all-powerful God who is holy and righteous has put himself in a position to be my shepherd. Personal, relational, loving shepherd. That's what David is communicating. And he knows his shepherd. And I know my shepherd. When I came to know Jesus in 1984 at the age of 7, he saved me, he rescued me, he gave me a brand new life, he became my shepherd. And it's amazing, again, that this incredible, indescribable God of the universe chooses to be our shepherd. And as a shepherd, he saved us, he rescued us, he keeps us, he guides us, he guards us. He protects us. And as the Lord, he is in absolute control. There is no equal. He is sovereign, and he promises to guide us, guard us, and protect us. He has the ability to do it, and he promises to give us everything that we need to accomplish his purpose, his will, for our higher good and his eternal glory. All the way to heaven, he will provide everything that we need to accomplish his purposes. Now the rest of the 23rd Psalm is like a sheep saying, it's like, just picture a sheep, okay, stepping up on stage, grabbing a microphone, and saying, I'm going to tell you all everything you need to know about my shepherd, how I've experienced him, what I know about him. I want to tell you everything, what life is like when you belong to the Savior Shepherd, when you belong to Jesus, the blessings, the benefits, all that comes with being one of his sheep. David is telling us that nothing compares to the Psalm 23 life. He's telling us nothing compares to the Psalm 23 life. Now, there's no outline this week, all right? I know that's going to blow some of your minds. No outline. What I want you to do, you have a handout. I want you to just write down anything, anything that speaks to you as we go through this message. This is such a personal message. And I want you to write down anything, any way the Lord speaks to you through this message. You just write it down. Record it. The last four words of Psalm 23:1. You know, verse 1 is a cause and effect verse. You can't have the last part of verse 1 if you don't have the first part of verse 1. Let's look at it in the New American Standard Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the more familiar translation, right? It's some version of that. That sounds more familiar to us, those of us who know this psalm. That word want is the word koser, and it means to lack, to be without, to have a need. Other translations, the CSB says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have what I need. It's the same meaning, just said a little bit different. I have what I need. The NLT says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. All of my needs, not my wants, not my wishes, not everything that I want, but I have all that I need in order to accomplish God's will, his purpose for my higher good and his eternal glory. That's wrapped up in this. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I shall not want. Again, doesn't say we have everything we need. God is shepherding us, and he's going to give us what we need. It doesn't say that I get all my wants. He's saying we'll have everything that we need. Doesn't say that this is a prosperity gospel where it's name it, claim it. You know, if you have enough faith, you'll get whatever you desire. If you work hard enough, you'll get whatever you desire. That's not what David is saying here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have all that I need. One other time in the Bible, we see this word want used in Deuteronomy chapter 2. God is shepherding his people through the wilderness into the promised land. And the last part of chapter 2, verse 7 of Deuteronomy says, the Lord your God has been with you these past 40 years, and you have lacked nothing. You've had everything that you've needed. It's the same word. I shall not want. Without the shepherd, we lack everything. With the shepherd, we lack nothing. And the message for us, all of us, Jesus as our shepherd is all that we need. And he will supply all that I need. He will give everything that I need. He will supply every physical, emotional, and spiritual need that we need to accomplish his plan. God is saying, I'm with you. I will supply everything that you need to accomplish the plan that I have for you physically, emotionally, spiritually. Not all the desires, not the greeds that you have, what you think you need. I'm not promising all of that, but I will promise everything that you need to accomplish the purpose I have for you, for your greater good and for my eternal glory. Now, if there's something in my life that I think I need that I do not have, God may say, you think you need this, but you don't. That may be what he's trying to communicate to us if he's not giving us what we think we need. He may be saying that it is in his perfect plan to give you what you think you need. You do, in fact, need it, but not right now. You're not ready for this thing that you think you need or that you do, in fact, need. It's not the right time. Roger Morgan said this. He said, I shall not want does not mean I have everything I want, but I will not want for anything that I need. I won't get everything that I want, but I will have all that I need, as David says. Now, if you're driving down the road and you see a flock of sheep and they're healthy, safe, at peace, those sheep did absolutely nothing to put themselves in that position. Left to themselves, they're helpless, hopeless, easily destroyed. They did absolutely nothing to put themselves in that position. If they are healthy, safe, and at peace, it's because their shepherd's doing his job. It's because they have a good shepherd that watches them, protects them, guides them, guards them, and takes care of them. And guess what? They can't speak, so they can't go to their shepherd and say, "Hey, shepherd, I need water and grass and all these things." They can't speak. The good shepherd knows what they need and makes sure they have what they need. They can't write either, so they can't write a letter and list out all of the things that they need and give it to the shepherd. A good shepherd knows his sheep, knows what they need, when they need it, and cares for his sheep properly. And with us, with Jesus, he gives us everything that we need because he's given us himself. Jesus, the shepherd, gives the sheep himself. And when sheep are in the presence of the shepherd, that is all they need, because they know that the shepherd will supply everything that they need. They know they're taken care of when they're in the presence of their good shepherd. That's the picture that we see here of "I shall not want." The New Testament says it this way, Romans 8:32. "He did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything?" Not our wishes, not our greeds, not our whole wish list, not everything we think we need. Jesus gave us himself, and in doing that, he supplies our greatest need, which is a spiritual need, the need for salvation. And then he supplies us everything we need once we are a part of his flock. He gives us everything that we need to accomplish his purpose for our higher good, for his eternal glory. When David said, "I shall not want," it is a declaration and a decision. He's declaring the fact that I have my shepherd. My shepherd is really all that I need in my life. I have him. So as a result, I have and will have everything that I need. It's a declaration. He's also made a decision. And for us in this consumer-oriented, discontented culture that we live in, it's a decision to say, you know, I may not have everything that I think I need or everything I want, but I have Jesus, and that's enough. He's all I need, and he's going to supply my needs. I know my shepherd saved me. He loves me. He set me free from sin. He's always with me. He's promised never to leave me, and he will be with me always. He's sovereign. He's in control. He's promised to meet my needs, and if there's something in my life that I want that I don't have and he isn't giving it to me, then I'm going to trust him that he is providing for all of my needs, and so I'm not going to waste time worrying about the things that I don't yet have an answer to. The shepherd will satisfy my heart and everything that I face. I know that he will supply the needs that I have to face those situations. And I know that my shepherd will never stop. He's always working. He's always guiding, guarding, and protecting. Even when I don't see him working, I know he's working, so I trust him, and I'm going to depend on him and live in the peace that he provides. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. I'm not going to worry about the things that I don't have. So that's what this means. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The shepherd's given us himself. We are in the presence of the shepherd. The shepherd is all that we need, and the shepherd supplies all that we need. I may not have everything I want, but I won't want for anything as long as he's my shepherd, because he will supply everything that I need to accomplish his purpose. So if you understand what "I shall not want" means, say amen. Amen. All right, we spent enough time on that. Let's move on to the next. But it's important that we understand this, what it truly means when David's saying, "I have everything that I need." Let's drill deeper now, biblically, to understand this. Because worry happens When we stop believing and living, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's important for us to understand that, because worry happens when we stop believing and living that. Worry happens when I stop believing that the Lord is my shepherd, and worry happens when I lose sight of my shepherd Jesus. I get distracted by the worries of life. I lose sight of Jesus. I'm not focused on him, and I begin to fall deeper and deeper into worry. So we dig deeper into this topic of worry in the Bible and see how it ties in to I shall not want, because again, the Lord's plan is the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Not the Lord is my shepherd, I'm going to worry myself to death. That word worry, as we see it in the New Testament, is found 19 times. Merimneo is the Greek word, and it means to worry, to be anxious, to be troubled with care. So let me give you three examples of Jesus using this word worry. He talks about worrying about so many things. He tells Martha in Luke 10:41, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." We worry about many, many things. Too many things going on. He talks about the worries of life in Mark chapter 4, verse 19. "The worries of this age, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." The worries and concerns of life. And then worrying about tomorrow. He talks about that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. "Do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So we put these three things together to worry about countless things, many things in life that concern us. We worry about the cares of today, all that's going on. Too many things to control, too many things to process. So we worry about the many things, the daily pressures of life. Will my dreams come true? Will the things that I'm working for actually work out? Will this work out? Will that work out? The dreams that I have for my family, for my kids, for the church, will they all work out? Will God supply the difficulties? Sometimes life is hard and it's difficult and we encounter hard things. Many times we encounter hard things and we can worry about those things. We all know past failures. We all know present challenges. And then we all look to the future and we are concerned about the future. What will happen tomorrow, the next day, the next? What's going to happen with my family, my kids? What happens to us in our weakness and sinfulness is that we begin to think about those things, the presence, the problems, the concerns of life, the things that may or may not happen in the future in our sinfulness. We get wrapped up in those things and we begin to worry. We take our eyes off the shepherd and we focus on ourselves and our circumstances and what may or may not happen. And instead of focusing on Jesus, our shepherd, and living in the peace that he provides, we live in the chaos of the present, the uncertainty about the future, and then we worry. At its root, worry is doubting who the shepherd is and that the shepherd has promised to meet every physical, emotional, and spiritual need that we have. You can't sugarcoat it. Worrying is just doubting the shepherd, plain and simple. Dr. Margaret McCordle of the University of Wisconsin has really, really researched worry. And she has found that only 8% of the things that we worry about are legitimate concerns. Only 8%. Now, it's important to make that distinction, because we do have legitimate concerns in life. And we should pray about those concerns, the legitimate concerns that we face. We should research. We should plan. We should think through how to deal with those things. But you have to be careful, because it's really, really easy, and I'm speaking from personal experience here, it's really easy to take those things in that 8% legitimate concerns and move them into worry. Something that's actually a concern that needs your attention, needs your time, you become obsessed over it, you begin to take your eyes off of the shepherd, and instead of doing what you know, being responsible, not being reckless, being responsible and dealing with the things that you have to deal with, you become consumed with thoughts about that, with concerns, with worries about that, We take our eyes off the shepherd, and then those legitimate concerns are now firmly in the category of worry. But there are some things that we should be concerned about. We have to be careful not to move them into that category of worry. Do you know how the Bible describes worry? It really paints a picture for us of what it does to us. Worry. In the Greek meaning, it means to have a divided mind. In the Anglo-Saxon meaning, it means to choke. So a divided mind really paints a picture here. The picture is of us falling to pieces, being pulled in two different directions, being pulled torn in half, essentially. Worry happens when we are distracted and we focus on what is causing our worry, and when what we are worrying about becomes bigger than God, bigger to us than God. We end up living as if God doesn't exist because we're falling to pieces, we're torn apart. And then the other meaning, to choke. I can remember I was really small. I don't know how old I was, but I remember this very clearly. I was eating a peppermint and I began to choke on that peppermint. I'm talking windpipe, couldn't breathe, and I panicked. My parents were, we were in the kitchen in the house that I grew up in for the first several years of my life, and I remember in the kitchen, my parents were there. I began to choke. I was small enough. My dad picked me up, turned me upside down, and shook me. And sure enough, the peppermint came out. But I was young, but I remember enough to know that in that moment, I was panicked. I didn't know what I was going to do. In that moment, I was choking, and that consumed every part of my being. All right, think about the last time you were choking on something. I mean, spitting, coughing, snotting everywhere, okay? Think about the last time you were really choking. Would that have been a good time for somebody to come up to you and say, hey, listen, I need to know your opinion about the political landscape of today? And I mean, you didn't want to think about anything but getting rid of whatever it was that you were choking on, right? That's the picture that's being painted for us about worry. It tears us to pieces, we fall to pieces, and it completely consumes us. And what we're doing when we worry is we are taking our own hands and putting them around the neck of our heart, and we're choking ourselves out. That's all we can think about. It completely and totally consumes us. And that's no way to live. That is not God's plan for us. That's not how He desires that we live with Him as our shepherd. This thing that's called worry is a spiritual battle that we have to fight. God doesn't want us to be dominated by worry. He wants us to know peace, His peace. Satan wants us to worry, fall to pieces, and choke ourselves out. That's what Satan wants. The passage of Scripture that hits worry head on is in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I referred to one of the verses a few minutes ago, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. I'm not going to read the entire passage, but I want to hit a few highlights from that passage of Scripture. Three times in that passage, Jesus commands us not to worry. Worry is a sin, and He tells us not to do it. It's not good enough to just say, hey, I'm a worrier, and I identify with this. But it's not enough just to say, you know what, some people worry more than others, and I'm one that worries a lot. It's just part of my makeup. It's one of my weaknesses. It's absolutely true, but that's no excuse. Worry is still a sin. And Jesus tells us not to worry. I can't help it. It's not a good enough excuse with any sin, and that certainly applies here. It's a sin, period. Jesus tells us not to do it. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, I read it earlier, worry is brought about by the cares of life. We start caring about life, we start forgetting the shepherd and that He is going to care for us in this life, all the way to heaven. Jesus tells us that when we worry, it's a lack of faith. And you know, as a professional seasoned worrier, that's hard to admit, but it's true. When I worry, it's a lack of faith. I'm not trusting my shepherd. And Jesus tells us that when we worry, we forget our worth to Him, that we are valuable to Him. We are His sheep, and He has promised to care for us. We become blind to his blessings. Then he tells us, don't worry. And then he tells us how we are to accomplish that. How do we not worry? He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Focus on the shepherd, his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. Keep our eyes on the shepherd. Satan's the opposite, though. Satan tells us to worry. You remember John 10, the good shepherd passage. Satan is described as a wolf who wants to attack, scatter, distract, and destroy the sheep. We know it's a spiritual battle, and here's how it works. Here's how Satan attacks us. You're missing out on something that you need. God tells you he's going to give you everything you need, but if you had that thing, your life would be perfect. Those three things that you're missing in your life, if only you had that, then you would be satisfied. God's telling you he's providing for you, but he's holding back. He's not really giving you everything that you need. You wouldn't be thinking about this one thing if you didn't need it. And you deserve it. You work hard, have a family, you do all this stuff for other people. You deserve that thing that you want. And God says he's a good shepherd, but he's really not a good shepherd, because if he was a good shepherd, he would give you this thing that you really want. And if you had that thing, everything would be perfect. Everything would fit into place. Satan wants us to think that the shepherd deprives us and that he is holding back on things that we really need. I mean, think about it. In the garden, the original sin, Adam and Eve, what was it that Satan tempted them with? And God doesn't want you to have that, because he knows that if you eat that fruit, you'll know everything that he knows. He's holding back. He's depriving you of something that you could really use, that you really need. It's the same tactic to us. You're lacking in your life. You want this or that. And if you had that, life would be so much better. Now go ahead and go to church. Satan's fine if we go to church and go through the motions. Say the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. But in your heart, you know he's ripping you off. And he's holding back. That's his tactic. And he's very successful in it. Because how much do we worry about the things that we can't control? What may or may not happen. What we have, what we don't have. Will I get it? Won't I? Will this work out? Won't it? That's all a version of Satan convincing us that the Lord will not supply everything that we need to accomplish his will for our higher good and his eternal glory. Let's sum it up like this. The shepherd's plan is Christ-centered living. I shall not want leads to peace. Satan's plan is want-centered living. I shall want, which leads to worry. Want-centered living leads to worry. Christ-centered living leads to peace. Satan is a liar. He's very good at it. He's very successful in convincing us of things that we should not believe. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who has promised to provide all of our needs, who will never neglect us. He will never deprive us of what we need. And listen to this, I've said it several times intentionally. He will never deprive us of what we need to accomplish his will for our higher good and his eternal glory. So that doesn't include all of our wants, our greeds, even our desires, everything that we need to accomplish his will for our higher good and his eternal glory. There's a story from the East Anglican Times from Suffolk, England. Shepherd jailed for animal neglect. A 54-year-old shepherd was arrested and spent time in prison for what authorities called, quote, the worst case of sheep animal neglect they've ever seen. On the property, dead sheep were lying all over the place. Sheep were caught in razor wire with no one to get them out. The sheep they found alive were so malnourished and their bodies so covered with sheep scabs, 28 sheep had to be put down because of the condition that they were in. The shepherd was charged, this is serious here, the shepherd was charged with 15 counts of mistreatment of sheep. He served time for it. The article indicated this. It was a total failure of the shepherd to take steps to provide for the needs of his sheep. It was a total failure for the shepherd to take steps to provide for the needs of his sheep. Now, if he was my shepherd, I would be worried. I would have reason to be concerned. But that's not our shepherd. So the question is, what kind of shepherd do we really have? That's the question. What kind of shepherd do we really have? Do we believe that he loves us? Do I believe that my shepherd loves me? Do I really believe that I have everything that I need in him? These are the questions. Do I really believe he's going to supply every physical, spiritual, and emotional need that I have to accomplish his purpose for my higher good and his eternal glory? Do I really believe that? Every situation that I'm facing, do I believe that he's going to give me what I need to handle that situation? What kind of shepherd do I really believe in? Is my shepherd really so perfect that I'm going to say I shall not want, that I really mean I have everything that I need? Is my shepherd going to provide for me, guard me, guide me, and protect me all the way to heaven? Do I really believe that my shepherd is going to do that? Can I really trust him? Or do I need to worry about it? Maybe we're wrong about this. Maybe we should be worried. Is Jesus really who he says he is? Is he really the good shepherd? Is he really going to guide us, guard us, protect us, provide everything that we need to accomplish his will for my higher good and his eternal glory? Can we really trust that? It's what it really comes down to. Is he going to provide, or is he going to let us get caught in a bunch of razor wire and starve to death? Is he the good shepherd? See, again, I say Satan is a liar. He will convince you that he is not the good shepherd. Something else to do besides chewing calm gum, okay? Let me give you something else to do. I know these verses. I repeat these verses regularly. And it is the plan to win over worry, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about everything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Anytime that worry hits my head, I should pray about it. Anytime. A thought creeps in, I begin to become consumed by that thought. I need to capture that thought and pray about it. Instead of thinking about what I'm worried about, I need to take my cares to the Lord, to my good shepherd. Instead of carrying around the load that's been weighing me down, I need to unload my cares on my good shepherd. I need to pray, and as I pray, I need to declare my faith. Jesus, you are my shepherd. I don't understand what's going on, but I know you've got it. You're in control, and you will give me what I need when I need it to deal with this thing that I'm concerned about. And if that thing, whatever it is, and this is me, by the way, okay? If that thing hits your brain 18 times, 18 times you take it to the Lord. Every single time, over and over again. Because you see, what happens if you do that, the problem probably won't go away instantly, but think about what you're doing here. You're concerned about something. Every time it comes into your mind, you take it to the Lord. You're running to your shepherd every time. You're drawing close to him, and he has promised that when we draw close to him, he will draw close to us. We take it to our shepherd, and look what it says. The peace of God, not the peace of man, not world peace, the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Doesn't say that we will have understanding. Life is confusing. That situation may still be confusing. It may not make sense. Doesn't say we'll have understanding, but what it does say is in the midst of that confusion, you can have supernatural peace that can only be explained by the presence of your shepherd in your life. Guiding you, guarding you, protecting you. Whatever is over here that I'm worried about and my heart is over here, this tells us that my shepherd is standing between those two things and guarding my heart, protecting me from whatever that is that I'm worried about. He's standing guard over my heart and my mind. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We can literally live a lifestyle of less worry, where we worry less and have peace more. That's what David is telling us he's experienced in his life. That's what Jesus is promising us as our good shepherd. And the goal as we grow in Jesus is that we follow our shepherd. We get to where we want. What we want is the same thing as what he wants. We become more like him. We want to go where he goes. We want to do what he's doing. We only want the things that he wants us to have. Our desires become the same as his desires. That's what he means when he says he will give us the desires of our heart. We receive those desires and we become more like Christ and we begin to desire what he desires. And whatever's going on in my life, whatever's happened, as I follow Jesus, as he guides me, as he guards me, as he protects me, I don't understand it all, but I know that it will work out. I know that it all fits together as a part of his plan, and I know he is good, and I don't have to worry because I know he will provide everything that I need to accomplish his will for my higher good and his eternal glory. So the question is the Lord your shepherd? I hope so. I really, really hope so, because the deepest need of your heart is also a spiritual need. The deepest need you have is to know Jesus as your shepherd, to be forgiven of sin. The deepest need you have is salvation, and he died on the cross. He paid the price for your sins, for my sins. And that day in 1984, when I put my faith in Jesus, he welcomed me into his flock as one of his sheep. He is my good shepherd, but he cannot be your good shepherd unless you have believed in who he is as the Lord and Savior of your life, accepted the salvation that he provides through his death for your sins. Being raised from the dead, he invites you into his family, but you have to believe in him and trust in him for salvation. And if you do, you can be a part of his flock and you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Worrying sheep is the title of today's message, but how about sheep worrying? That's actually a phrase in Britain. A lot of shepherding in Britain, okay? It's actually a phrase, it's a law, and it comes with a pretty hefty fine and jail time. It's a huge law in Britain. Sheep worrying happens if you cannot control your dog. I was joking yesterday with the kids, if we were in Britain, we would definitely be guilty of sheep worrying. Our dogs, they chase everything that moves. Sheep worrying happens when you cannot control your dog. It's a very serious crime. 15,000 sheep die every year. But here's the thing about this law. Your dog doesn't actually have to attack a sheep for you to be guilty of sheep worrying. Just scaring, harassing, or chasing the sheep, you will be guilty of this serious crime. You will have to pay a fine and possibly serve jail time. Because these 15,000 sheep that die, they don't usually die because they're attacked by a dog. Remember, sheep are dumb. They die because they get scared and they run and they go crazy and they don't stop running. They run themselves literally to death. That's why this is so serious. All that has to happen is your dog scares the sheep goes nuts, starts running, and will either run himself into trouble or run so much, unless he stopped, that he will run himself to death, literally. 15,000 sheep die every year. Sheep worrying is, you had better control your dog, or you're going to be guilty. Pay a fine. Serve jail time. Sheep worrying is a real thing, and you and I can run ourselves to death worrying. We have a shepherd who's given us himself, Jesus, and he is all that we need, and he will supply all that we need. My shepherd is enough. Robert Kitchum tells a story about a class of little children. Teacher asked the kid if they knew the 23rd Psalm. This little girl, 4.5 years old, raises her hand and says she did. She does. She did. The teacher doubted it, but she called on her and said, "Okay, you can say it." So the little girl gets up, stands in front of the class, for some reason bows before she says it. And she says this. She says, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want." She bows again, sits back down. Now, she missed a few verses in there, but she understands it, doesn't she? She gets it. Because what this means is, the Lord is my shepherd. He will provide everything that I need to accomplish His will for my higher good, His eternal glory. And at the end of the day, that's all I want. Anything else, He can handle. Whatever He chooses to do with that or not do with that, I trust Him because He is my good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all that I want. Let's pray.